Now time for the crime report, brought to you by the Suffolk County Crime Stoppers. 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. All calls are kept anonymous, and a monetary reward of up to $5,000 issued for information leading to an arrest. Joe Jacklin, of course, retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's a current adjunct professor at John Jay College, author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Functioning Guide for New Investigators, third edition. And Joe, of course, highly decorated member in his day of the NYPD, including the Department Medal of Valor. The aforementioned Joseph Jacklin, we say a very good morning to the Sarge. Sir, how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good morning, Jay. How are you?
All righty. Actually, we told Joe Happy New Year last week. I'm getting my dates all crossed up. But you know what? He's deserving of a second round of that. So
That's fine.
Even more so. Joe, let's start with the bail reform. I mean, it's got to take the top. There is just so much. Every day, it's discussion. Every day, you know, we get a politician on. And you know what's sad? And I said this with the State of the State address that took place on Wednesday. Absolutely no mention of it, even though the governor certainly recognized that it has to be kind of re-looked at, so to speak, along, believe it or not, with Mr. de Blasio in New York City. So many flaws, so many people recognize this. So many people on the left recognize this. And it just has to be repealed, amended. I don't care what they do, but they need to fix it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, here's the real issue on this whole thing. You know, this is what happens when you create a law and you don't invite to the table people who actually have to do this job. So when the governor and his cabal of people, whoever decided to do this, didn't bring anybody in from the criminal justice side, no police chiefs, no prosecutors, no nothing, this is what you get. You get a one-sided law that just doesn't work. I don't know what he was thinking, but you know what? Yesterday he was out there talking about now, you know, legalizing marijuana. So I tweeted directly to him. I was like, sure, you did such a great job with the bail reform and the criminal justice reform. What could possibly go wrong? You know, are they thinking these things through? Did they learn their lesson from this bail reform? You can't have a partisan, a type thing. It has to be bipartisan. It has to be all the groups involved. Listen, there's all kinds of rooms for reform in our criminal justice system. Doing it one-sided was not the way to do it. And here you have the problem of getting people arrested 5, 6, 7 times. You let them out. It's like catch and release. It's like, you know, it's absolutely insane. And thankfully right now, the people who have been arrested again and again, it hasn't been, you know, hasn't injured somebody or hurt somebody or killed somebody yet. I mean, that's coming. And you can see it coming. It's only been 10 days into this, and it's already been, not good.
Too many incidents. That is coming. Yeah, you're right.
It's coming. I mean, all of the things that we've seen already so far haven't been good. And you know what? It's going to affect your crime stats, too. You're going to see crime, you know, go through the roof because of the stats, the numbers. You have somebody, like there was a guy in Manhattan, you know, 5 burglaries in 5 days. I mean, those numbers add up after a while.
Yeah, no question. Gang members, Joe, are being released from jails all across the island. Sheriff Errol Toulon Jr. in Suffolk County, by the way, he'll be with us on Wednesday. He told News 12, I think it was 41 of the 301 people released since November are known gang members. What does that tell you right there? The president of the Corrections Officers Union says these individuals have been released. 20 people in Nassau identified as gang members are now back in the street. Isn't that nice? Doesn't that make you feel comfortable? I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, because Long Island doesn't have a gang problem already.
And it's just an absolute mess. And, you know, it's time for people to eat crow. You know, I put a call into the governor's office yesterday. Well, hopefully we're going to get him on next week. But I also put a call into Senator Michael Gianaris, Joe, who's the leading backer of this bill. And they're very hesitant You know, it's interesting how people don't want to come on and talk about it on the radio, but they sound off pretty well, I'll tell you that much. I don't know if you read Janaris's comments. Fear-mongering by the press.
Yes.
Called it anecdotal, you know, some of the instances cited. And yet, my call into his office, listen, I'm ready to give him 10 examples. You know, if he thinks it's just fear-mongering, I'd like him to kind of explain that, because I don't know where he's coming from regarding this. You know, a classic example, Joe, out of all this is the Tiffany Harris deal. You know, this is a woman who's been in and out of jail 12 times. 12 times.
Well, she would have been released again, but the mayor now has finally come clean and say he had to intervene with the judge to keep her, to have her psychologically evaluated. So if that doesn't go to show you, so now if it wasn't that the mayor stepped in and went to the judge or however they did it to keep her behind bars this time, in the height of all of these anti-Semitic attacks, you have to scratch your head. Does the mayor and in every other town now have to call up and see if they can keep people after they've committed all these attacks and stuff? I don't understand where anybody could defend. I don't know how anybody could defend it.
Can't defend it. Yeah, absolutely can't defend it. And they just have to fix it, and that's all. They just have to admit to a huge mistake here, and especially when it comes to judges. You know, you have handcuffed judges now to the point where they have no lateral movement here. It's almost like an automatic release, no matter how harsh a criminal is. Back on the street you go, sorry. It has to be that way, and that's what's come to it. And also, you have all this pre-discovery stuff for trials. It's completely out of whack, too, Joe. They got to look at that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and if you recall, Jay, back in November when I wrote the op-ed in the New York Post, I mentioned all of these things, and it's almost like, you know, nobody listens to you. Nobody cares. Like, everyone, you know, I was getting emails back then, you know, you were fear-mongering and everything like that. Well, here we are, 2 months later, and we're dealing with it. I mean, you don't need to have a slide rule to figure out what was going to happen next. Anybody who worked in the criminal justice system was telling you what exactly was going to happen. You know, this isn't television. This isn't what it called. We've dealt with people like this just about our whole adult lives. They don't learn unless there's some sort of punishment involved, meaning you arrest somebody, there's deterrence. They're going to go to jail for 2 years. They're going to, you know, mandatory sentence. If you don't have any of that, which we don't, they're just free to do what they want to do. Bad guys will always do what bad guys do. That's it, Jay. That's the bottom line.
That's it. And you must reverse this presumption on rapid disclosure of information, both for the victim and the witness. You have to do that. I mean, the way they have it slated now is insane. Too much information out there. And slash the rest of this new discovery requirement as well. But you must give these judges, you know, give them their jobs back. Give these judges discretion to consider, for crying out loud, public safety. That's what it's about right now. And no matter what the charges in deciding whether a suspect needs to be jailed pending trial, please, you must give him back his job. You have taken the job away from a judge. You can't do that.
Well, yeah, and that's basically, you know, the common sense aspect of this whole thing, right? The judges are the quarterback for this entire situation, or what they feel what should be done. You know, and then, you know, the people who are, you know, pro, you know, this kind of reform is saying that, you know, they've all overly been harsh. Listen, if you've been arrested 20, 30 times or so, I mean, how many chances do you get? Listen, I believe in everybody deserves a second chance, right? People screw up, you make a mistake, you get a second chance. I get it. As long as it wasn't that you had violently attacked somebody or done something like that, I get it. I understand it. And yes, bail reform is an important aspect of, you know, trying to make sure that our system isn't too, you know, does it affect the wrong people at the wrong time? I get it. People make mistakes. I do. But you're dealing with people now 20, 30 times in the system. I mean, how many chances do you give somebody? I mean, at one point, you got to say, okay, this person hasn't learned.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And maybe the likes of a Carl Hastie will wake up, Joe. Maybe he'll wake up, for instance. You know, the speaker there, one of the more powerful guys up there in Albany. And I'm saying that because, you know, he has one of his top aides' husband. Believe it or not, this Orlando Dennis was picked up for cocaine conspiracy charges. Unbelievable. Who's Hastie's top aide, whose husband left Brooklyn Federal Court on Monday. And this is all about cocaine charges. And maybe when that guy, Orlando Dennis, is back in the street creating havoc again, maybe Hastie will wake up. Maybe it takes something of that nature for the Speaker of the House up in Albany to kind of see the light of day here.
Well, you know what would make everybody, all the politicians, that you know, kind of understand something is when people get involved, when New Yorkers start emailing and writing letters and calling the offices of these representatives that did it, then, you know, remember, you guys, us, put them in power. Those are the ones, you hold the power, the voter holds the power by making their displeasure known about certain things. You know, we've talked about this, Jay. We have a very apathetic voting base. People don't want to get involved in things. You know, most people don't even vote. So it's an absolute head scratcher when you're dealing with this stuff. The only way you make your voice heard, you go to the voting booth, or you send an email, you make a phone call. I mean, those are the kind of things that could get people's attention. Until they do, you know, they're gonna continue to be business as usual.
Joe, it's the same old, same old, same old. You know that. The same people get elected and reelected, and the people just don't care anymore. You know, they don't put any thought. I've been saying this for years. How many years am I doing this? I've been saying it every political season of election time. It's the same old dreck that gets reelected, the same old policies, the same old verbiage, and you know, they kind of change it around to get reelected, but then old policies are still in place. Nothing ever changes. And until people wake up and start thinking a little bit more, nothing will ever change. That's really what it is.
Well, especially the political corruption that we've seen in New York over the last few years. I mean, if that's not an eye-opener for people, I don't know what is. You know, I guess when you look at your real estate tax bill and you look at all the other things, and then you see all these guys getting arrested on, you know, charges, when do you say, hey, listen, we need to really do something about our elected officials? When does that happen? When does the capitulation start? When do people just say, finally, okay, I got to do something?
Well, let's just give de Blasio another term. What do you say? Joe Jacklin, the crime report. Let's go to this Fotis Doulis situation. He was released to house arrest yesterday and now awaits trial in this alleged murder of his missing estranged wife, Jennifer. This is a crazy case as this Doulis was busted on murder and kidnapping charges, if one remembers, in the disappearance of his wife. What was that, back in May, Joe, right?
Right, but here's a guy that shouldn't be out on bail, right? I mean, you know, these are the kind of things that you really scratch your head, right? He's out on $400,000 bail. He's suspected of murder. His girlfriend has been arrested also in this whole thing. I remember during the summertime I did an interview with one of the papers in Connecticut, and we discussed this case. And I said to him, I mean, everybody's labeled as a cold case. I'm like, listen, you remember the police department works in certain ways. They're not going to tell you everything. They're going to have to develop all the phone records and internet records, you know, the emails and all those other things going back and forth to everybody. I thought that was going to be the key into this thing. And I believe that's exactly what transpired here. We'll find out soon enough about how they finally got the probable cause to arrest these two. But it just goes to show you that, you know, in the days done, the police departments are doing what they're supposed to do. And they were very quiet about it. They weren't having press conferences every 2 minutes. I mean, it was actually a good lesson for other police departments when you're handling a high-profile case about, you know, how you should do it within the media. I think they did a great job. They had tip lines. They had the Crime Stoppers. They had everything that they needed to do in order to make sure that this case, you know, went the way of probable cause. So I'm actually saying, you know, let's just see. And when I found out that he was released out on bail, I was very disappointed in that. But, I mean, wow.
That's taken a long time, but yes, they've done their due diligence. I'm just surprised at the length of time it has taken to nail down this photostulus. And don't forget, there's a third person involved here, Joe. One of his pals, Kent Mulwinney, who's charged with conspiracy as well. I think he's being held on $2 million bond. And supposedly, allegedly, he's the one who dug this this grave, nothing in it. And it's a very strange case. They have yet to find Jennifer, her body. So the beat goes on. But, you know, Joe, 9 out of 10 times, it's always the husband, right? Or the wife.
Well, listen, you always focus in on the significant other when you have it, especially when there's another relationship involved. I mean, listen, if people think that they're going to kill their spouse and just walk away and nobody's going to suspect them, I think they're really mistaken. Let's put it that way. And unfortunately, too, the court of public opinion, Jay, is worse than any criminal court that they're ever going to face. So, I mean, this is something that the public has been all over from the beginning. And, you know, you just never, you'll never be able to pop his head up anywhere if anything ever fell apart in this case. I mean, that's part of the issue here, too.
Good question, Joe Jacklin, the crime report. Let's go to another troubling story. Yesterday, where the county authorities here in Suffolk shut down a sporting goods store, Joe, in Ronkonkoma, charging the owner, this Chester Pergen, with selling illegal assault firearms and high-capacity gun magazines. 69 counts. This guy has pled not guilty, by the way. The most troubling aspect of this, Joe, and you and I spoke about this at length way back in one of the guns used. Through this investigation, authorities recovered a rifle, they say, Pergen sold. Remember the Legurgo case, John Legurgo the third, who police say used the weapon to kill his 2-year-old son and himself. Now, let me take you back to the day. Joe and I spoke about this at length in quorum, Joe. The wife was surprised. Father took the kid, never brought him back, 2-year-old, and took him on a multi-state hopper. Amber alerts were sent and screwed up somehow. They still haven't given us an explanation, by the way, as far as what happened with those Amber alerts, only to find what happened in the end, as horrific as could be, with this 2-year-old being shot. Unbelievable. But anyway, one of the guns was from Pergen's store in Ronkonkoma. It's just a horrific case.
Yeah, no, I mean, here's where, you know, it's either happenstance that they just came across this, or the police had found out about this sooner and they would just been investigating this guy. You know, and the scary part of it is you're not selling it out of, like, you know, the back door kind of thing. You're selling it what's inside the store. So, you know, listen, they did a great job in getting this guy and taking these guns out of there. I mean, with all the mass shootings that we've had and throughout the United States and dealing with all this stuff, I think we can't have this kind of behavior. And it only empowers the you know, the gun control advocates even more. And I understand that. You know, it's something needs to be done. We've talked about that, too. But when you have people who circumvent the law, and what bad guys always do, you know, you're going to have these issues pop up. But should be glad that they might have averted something even worse.
820 high-capacity magazines, 116. Can you imagine this? 116 assault rifles seized from Chester's hunting and fishing store in Ronkonkoma. Joe Jacklin, the crime report. Crime done in Nassau County by a third, Joe. Pat Ryder stated yesterday. That's good news. Nassau has got some control over things there. 31%, I think the number is, on some of the major crimes over 10 years.
Yeah, the numbers look good. I mean, you know, Nassau and Suffolk County, you know, have had issues with the gangs and stuff like that and the murders, and that's where probably where those murders, you know, you see those murders, that's where they're coming from. But, you know, one murder is too much. But we know we don't live in a utopian society where nothing's ever going to happen. So, you know, you got to give Ryder credit, too. He's been pretty quiet. He does his job, and he's not out there, you know, doing anything that he shouldn't be doing. And I think both, you know, in Suffolk County, I think he's doing pretty good, too. You know, it's like everything else. These things pop their heads up. You know, you hear these blips in the media about 100 arrests of MS-13 gang members in Suffolk County and all these other things. These things pop up. Listen, there's still an underbelly out there that, you know, keep in the back of your mind. That's all.
No doubt. A tough story of a Farmingville guy, sentenced only to 2 months. Surprise there in prison. He beat a woman on a cruise ship. Did you read this one?
Yeah.
This guy got 2 years probation as well. The woman apparently slapped this Adam Panetta, and then he punched her twice in the side. Nice, right? Punched her twice in the side of the head and left her on the floor in the hallway outside a cabin. Unbelievable. I'm surprised he only got 2 months here, Joe.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's quite disturbing when you read the story. I mean, I guess you can't lock everybody up forever, you know? I mean, that's just basically what they're saying. It's just, yeah, it would make people tick. I mean, listen, these road rage incidents, all these other things that happen, I mean, people lose their minds, I guess, you know, but you shouldn't put your hands on anybody, you know? Don't, you got to fight that urge, however it is.
The stabbing of a 15-year-old Uniondale High School kid on Wednesday. Now it may have been gang-related, according to the commissioner there, Patrick Ryder, was hit over the head with a baseball bat. He's in serious but stable condition, the latest. Not life-threatening there, thank goodness, for this kid there. But as far as what prompted the attack, everything is still under investigation over there.
No, but when you hear about gangs being involved, you know, he's definitely getting targeted. As soon as I read the short little clip about it on the news about him being stabbed and hit with a baseball bat, I mean, he was definitely targeted. I mean, it could be that the fact that he didn't want to join the gang, too. So it could be that this kid has been trying to avoid it, and they're trying to force him to do things, too. So we'll wait and see exactly what the investigation comes out to. But we'll see what, you know, unfortunately, that you say to yourself that the kid, you can't go to school, you can't deal with this kind of thing. And, you know, we got to beef up our intelligence mechanisms about some of these high schools that we have here in New York, you know, Long Island and stuff like in Nassau, about, you know, the gang activity. Jay, we spoke about that a long time ago, about building the intelligence up, you know, finding out where these kids are really, you know, coming after these other kids for joining gangs or attacking them if it's not gang. I mean, it's I couldn't imagine having to go to school under those conditions and trying to learn.
Question. Joe, emotions very high last night. Did you read this one with Longwood Central School District? Speakers both supporting and criticizing the science teacher who last month presented a slideshow with a picture of a monkey next to an image of four black students, captions of what? Monkey see, monkey do.
Insane.
This Ed Heinrich should be suspended. ASAP, the educator involved here. And we had John Ray on yesterday, you know. He's representing the parents in this $12 million lawsuit. But, you know, listen, you just have to use better judgment. You're in a day and age. You can't do that stuff. I mean, what is it? And you know, here's
people?
The thing. Heinrichs apparently has done this in the past without getting the involved situations of what he's presently getting. But that doesn't mean it was right, and at this point in time, you know, you have to be aware of the societal situations here, please.
Well, even then, I mean, that societal situation has been going on for a long time. I mean, my question is, like, where's the common sense, and where's the, and you mean to tell me that nobody in the administration has ever heard of him doing this in the past and tell him, listen, you better knock it off? This is not, you know, I can tell you right now, I mean, this is not. What do they think? I guess what do they not think? You know, was he just? I know it's going to come out and say, "Well, I was just trying to make a joke. It wasn't, you know, had to do with any race." It's unacceptable. You're teaching kids. I mean, you shouldn't be up there making jokes. It's just like, what are you doing?
I don't know. I don't know where we have gone here as a unit, but it is off the charts here as far as this. So. We'll see what happens there. John Ray on with us yesterday. Joe, let's go to this Jeffrey Epstein deal. I guess video footage of the area around his jail cell on a day he actually survived an apparent suicide attempt no longer exists, according to federal prosecutors. So the beat goes on. I mean, this Jeffrey Epstein stuff will never go away, I guess.
Jay, I don't think they could have handled this case any worse than they have. Let's put it that way. I every day they have something that comes out about this that's just, you know, they release the photos or someone leaked the photos out. The photos do not look like the story they initially told. Now they had the video that's now disappeared. They had no video. We have God to sleep. Hey, listen, if you didn't believe in conspiracy theories before all this stuff, whatever, these kind of behaviors and these kind of screw-ups make people believe in conspiracy theories. They have nobody to blame but themselves about why people are going nuts about this case. It's simple as that. It's been handled from one of the highest profile cases that we've seen. How this is handled and bungled is just mind boggling.
It's terrible. And, you know, you just wonder. You just wonder what in the heck's going on with the system here. But, you know, the obvious thing to me was with this whole Epstein deal was these guards were paid off in a way to let something happen to Epstein. I mean, that's really what it came down to. And you're going to learn more about this information till the cows come home for the next year and a half.
Well, there needs to be another set of probe to find out exactly what's transpired over here. I mean, when you find out that this video is now gone too, it's just, and it's been deleted or whatever. How do you do that in this high profile case like this? I just don't get it. It's just too many coincidences that have happened, Jay, that just don't add up. And everybody's going crazy, and you know what? Rightly so, because it's amazing. I've been befuddled by this from the beginning, and when I heard this yesterday, I was just like shaking my head. I'm like, I cannot believe this.
Keeps going on. A couple of more for Joe. By the way, speaking of deleted, not to say that it was, but you know, it reminded me when I had John Ray on yesterday. I think January 21st, Joe. Keep that in mind. The appellate court date. As far as the tape, Suffolk County, Gilgo, Shannon Gilbert, where are those tapes? Is there anything actually on that tape? We'll find out something come the 21st. John back in court with that thing. So keep that one in mind. All right.
Okay.
But that mystery it could be a little bit of unraveling sometime this year for sure. How about this former Setauket-based financial advisor, Joe? He got a sentence, 170 months in prison, a scheme that mainly targeted elderly single women from Long Island, many of them, defrauding them. I think it was $9 million over 18 years, Joe.
Yes. You know what? This was a pretty heavy hit. You know what? And good for him. You're targeting people like this. They're most vulnerable. I mean, technically, you could have even made an argument to hit him under the hate crime statute, because if you're 60 over 60 years of age and you pick somebody out and commit a crime against them just because of their age, it could be considered a hate crime now. So, listen, he got off light, as far as I'm concerned.
Joe, a lot on the plate. We'll see what happens this week. Can't thank you enough, my friend.
You got it. Have a great weekend.